Welcome, everybody. Good to be here with you guys for the podcast today. Thanks for being here. It's a Monday. It's a Wednesday out there, but it's a Monday right here.
Out there in the future.
Out there in podcast land. It's a Wednesday. All but right. Here in the Upward Studios, better known as Michael's office.
It works well.
We're here.
Yep.
It's good.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Yep.
Good yes, weekend. Sir. Very good weekend.
You had a little surprise this weekend?
My daughter was sitting right in this room when I came around the corner on Thursday. She flew in from her job out in Tennessee. So we had fun with her.
Surprised you and Alexa? Y'all didn't know she was coming in?
We did not.
So
that's awesome.
Great surprise.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Very good surprise. And then we had a good weekend here.
We did. Church. Yep. Good day yesterday. Yep. Really good weekend.
Kicked off a brand new series.
Mm-hmm. Get healthy.
The most creative title that we've ever come up with.
I wonder what it's about.
It's about getting healthy.
What?
Oh, wait a minute.
Surprise.
What?
Write that down.
Talk Got about, it. Don't talk about a bait and switch there. No, so why don't you just kind of talk to us a little bit about why this series, why now, other than the fact that I feel like it's inspired by the Lord to go at, yes, but it,
do we need any more than that?
I love it. He goes like, other than.
Well, I've asked that a couple of times, and he always gives me the same response. Like, well, I felt like the Lord was leading me down this path, and no, you know, what was it about the idea of getting healthy? It felt like now's the time.
You know, I think Christians sometimes struggle with their physical health, you know.
Sure.
And we'll be talking about that some in the series. We didn't touch on it this weekend, but we'll be talking about how it's kind of hypocritical to pray for healing and continue to do things that are destructive to our bodies. Mm. You know, God in His mercy heals us in all kinds of ways, but if we're going to pray for healing and we're seeing that and we're praying for that and we're wanting to be healthy, why not talk about the habits in our lives that can keep us unhealthy, and inspire people towards habits that will bring health? And I believe Christians ought to be healthy people in terms of taking care of themselves. You know, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to take care of them well. And sometimes we don't. And Christians are really bad to, I know in the culture that I've been around a good bit, we're bad to harp on a few things, you know, and not on other things, you know. Mm-hmm. You want me to elaborate? Yeah, we're bad.
Go for it.
Yeah, sure, I'm not.
No,
you know, it was like when I was growing up, smoking a cigarette was just something that a Christian wouldn't do in our church. You know, it's like a Christian would not smoke a cigarette. And if someone did, that was like a really bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you could spend your life at the buffet bar, you know, with cholesterol and all kinds of junk and sugar, and just you could overdose that and be in a food coma, and that was okay,
right?
You know, and
almost
both
laughed
those things,
off, right?
Yeah,
kind of make a joke about it, yeah.
You know, and so you get into that kind of thing, and you start thinking, wow, both of those are very destructive.
Exactly,
and I need to bring those things under control, you know. And I certainly don't think anybody should be putting tobacco into their lungs. That's just, the smoke is just harmful. We know that. That's not a good thing at all. Not a place to get legalistic about, but it's just not a good thing for us.
Yeah.
It's not something you want to put in the temple of the Holy Spirit. And overloading it with junk as well is not something we want to do. So it kind of came out of that whole idea.
That's good.
So that's kind of a preview of some of the stuff we're going to talk about in the coming weeks.
Yeah, which is huge. I mean, when you think about what you talked about this week and you start thinking about all the things we're going to get to, like the impact that we're having on generations and that generations before of us have had on us, even down to the buffet. I mean, there's probably some stuff in there.
Yeah.
There's
some stuff in there, all right.
Yeah, stiff.
Like stuffing.
Chocolate fountain.
Oh, yeah. Let's wrap this thing up. We got to go.
Lunchtime.
As we're recording this, it is almost lunchtime. So, I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. as we got started off with this series, you took us down a path that I don't know that many people would have expected us to go as we kicked this thing off. And you even mentioned, kind of going into it, this right here was going to be one of those tough ones to deliver. As we were talking about looking back at our family history and breaking off generational sin, breaking off generational habits, so to speak. Why was this one? Why do you feel like this one right here is so difficult, oftentimes for us to talk about, or even for us to really listen to and respond?
This was not where I intended to start, but the seed kind of came along, And of all places, it hit me during one of the services while Matt was preaching last Sunday. Mm-hmm. This message kind of just downloaded to me all of a sudden. It was just like a Holy Spirit thing, that this thing just came, that, yeah, this is where you got to start.
Wow.
So I was just in there, and Matt was preaching, doing a fantastic job, and I was prayerfully thinking about...
He was ignoring me completely about downloading next week's message.
Well, it was the third time.
Yeah, he'd already heard it. So he had it. He had it down.
I heard it the third time, so it was still good, but I was thinking about next week, and it's kind of cool to be in that room with all those people, mm-hmm. and there's a sense of, here this is, what do these people really need? Mm-hmm. And I was praying that, right. God, what do we say next week? How do we help these people? And it's in those moments that a good... download, you know, that's sure. probably overused, but that's how it felt like. Holy Spirit just dropped something on me.
That's good.
So, but it's so crucial, you know, that we recognize those types of things, the generational influences that are in our lives, mm-hmm. for good or for bad.
Yeah.
And we celebrate the good, but we do have to confront the bad influences that come down through our family, and that's not easy.
Yeah.
I think it, just in talking with people who have really struggled with some major things and with just some, you know, regular or whatever you want to call it, kind of life things, most of the time those things come back to something that happened in the past with a parent or with a sibling or something that happens in your family. And so I really do think it was a great spot to start and say, hey, let's start at the root of this thing.
And it goes back further than we even have knowledge of. You know, we talked about in Deuteronomy where it says the influence comes down to four generations. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of people have much interaction with their great-grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I had a bit, and some people do for just a bit, but you really don't get to see their lives. If you got great-grandparents, they're close to the other side when you're born, you right. know, so you don't get an influence, but their lives impact you in a huge way, in ways you don't even understand and don't even know. So I think it's important for us to just confront those things, to try to, the first point was, you know, notice them, to try right. to just see what patterns are in my family. And you don't always trace it back exactly where it came from and exactly what happened. You just see that it's there. And you just need to notice it and call it what it is and confront it and deal with it. Or it just hangs out in your life forever and it goes right on past you to your children. And that was what was critical to me. Let's stop things that have affected me from mm-hmm. getting into my kids' life.
You used the illustration of the ice cream, but I thought it was so yeah. important for us to recognize that. You know, we grow up thinking things are normal. You know, we grow up in, you know, the environment that we grow up in. Everything that happens in there, we just assume is normal and that every family is like that. And I love the illustration with the ice cream. I thought that was
fantastic.
Yeah,
if you guys didn't hear, we just have a dear friend, and I joked with him yesterday. He keeps about 10 gallons of ice cream, up to 13, in his freezer.
Yeah.
And serves his guests this whole buffet of ice cream, you know, when they come over to his house. You know, that's dessert. And you can have whatever flavor you want. It's like being in an ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
And his daughter, I joke with her about it. She's grown and married with kids of her own now. And I joke with her. She said, you know, that was normal to me. I right. thought everybody did that. And that's on a funny side and a good side, just to illustrate that whatever you were raised in really feels normal to you.
Yeah. Because
it was normal for you.
And it isn't until you begin to get outside of that family to begin to see that not every family have that. And that can mm-hmm. be a really good thing with some things, right? But it can also be really harmful in other ways. And, man, just being able to recognize it, man, sometimes those habits and those patterns, man, that's not the way that God intended it to be.
You know, being in ministry, I've counseled a lot of people and talked to a lot of people over 30 years, and I've heard some terrible stuff, you
sure.
know, that happened in families, just some terrible patterns of abuse and sin and just all kinds of darkness. And I've talked to people who said that very thing to me. I did not know how bad this was. You know, it hurt, and they could feel the brokenness coming on, but they did not know that anything could be any different until they got out and had to take a look back and say, wow, that wasn't good. And there's times in your life, I've seen it before, that you get past something and you grow and you look back at it, even yourself, and you say, man, that was toxic. That wasn't healthy. That right. was a bad attitude. And sometimes you just need to look back and get some perspective and notice those things.
I loved how you pointed out how a lot of times we will notice those things, and then we'll just kind of shrug them off like, well, that's just that's just who I am, or that's just the way me and my dad are, or whatever that might be. And just really saying no. I think the way that you put it Sunday was, don't side with what the enemy is saying about you.
Right.
And that was powerful to me, because I think a lot of people get stuck in that place of just, yeah, this is who we are. Let's keep it going.
Oh, I grew up in church around people just saying, you know, I'm a warrior. That's just how I am. And that never was seen as a problem. You know, it was like, yeah, I'm a warrior. I just worry all the time. And Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Bible says, be anxious for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people struggle with anxiety, and I'm not trying to throw scripture at them and yell at them, but I'm simply saying, don't just make peace and settle because that's just the way I am. I have a problem sometimes, I have a problem with the personality test sometimes. I think they have some value, but people often will take these tests and then just say, okay, this is what I am. This is just how I am. You guys just deal with it. You know, I hear people with Enneagram all the time, and I'm not a critic of Enneagram or any DISC or Myers-Briggs, anything else. I'm not a critic of that, and we've taken some of those to try to help us understand ourselves. But when people just come in and say, well, you know, I'm just a six, deal with it.
I'm an eight, so I'm a jerk.
If that's what it is, yeah, I don't even remember what the numbers are now. I took the test once. I can't remember what it was. But it's like, I'm just a jerk, just deal with it. I think, and that's probably an exaggeration and an extreme, but some people do that. Some people's just like, well, I'm an eight, that's it, deal with it, everybody. You know, you don't have to always stay the way you are. Having said, it benefits to understand some of your experience and your personality. There are benefits to it, but I don't like the aspect of that's just how I am.
I think every personality test I take is wrong. So,
yeah, you ask the question. Yeah, it's hard to take it without being...
No, this is not me.
Well, I find myself taking and answering those questions and marking what I wish I was rather than what I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm like, I don't want to say no to this, so I'm going to put
I know
five.
What that
I'm going to let everybody else take the test for me.
I know what gift that's pointing towards, and I don't want that. Exactly. That's running in the back of my mind every time I take one of those tests.
Do I want to know the real answer?
Nah.
No, they really don't put the real answer down because the real answer is not in this blank right here.
Yeah, there's no fill in the blank on those tests.
We talked about, you mentioned, hey, as we're kind of walking through this path here, we're going to notice it, we're going to name it, and then we kind of get on the backside of it. It's like, okay, what are we going to do it when we notice it, we name it? You mentioned we're going to forgive and we're going to forsake it.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the idea of being willing to take that step of forgiveness, which, man, regardless of the hurt and the pain, man, forgiveness is it can be, and for a lot of us it is, a tough place to get to where you're willing to take that step to forgive, because it does feel like we're just letting things go. We're letting the person off the hook. Mm. But you gave a great quote about forgiveness. Can you share that with the audience again?
Yeah, let's see. You didn't tell me you were going to ask this, but it says... For this Monday now, I preached this four times. I'm done with this thing.
Okay, all right.
Forgiveness doesn't make them right; it makes us free.
Right,
and it really does.
How does that happen? How does forgiveness set us free?
Well, there's an illusion here, and I think most people, myself included, who struggle with forgiveness, oftentimes we have a misunderstanding of what forgiveness really is. Mm-hmm. That quote really helps me. That forgiveness is not letting them off the hook. The other thing is you don't really get what you're doing. How does me churning on the inside over a person's sin over and over punish them?
Mm.
How does me getting an ulcer hurt them?
Yeah.
Most of the time, you're just deceived about what's really going on. You think, I'm keeping them, I'm holding them accountable.
Right.
You're just eating up your own stomach lining, and they're going on with their lives.
Yeah.
You know, you're not hurting them. So oftentimes, our desire to hold on to it is this sense of justice that we really don't have control over. We're not the ones who measure out justice to people in the end, you know. So forgiveness for me is just, it's letting it go and moving on past it in my own heart. Mm. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's right. I'm simply saying, I don't want it anymore. The other thing that's such a struggle is I think people think that they're just going to say, okay, I forgive, and all of the feeling of it is just going to disappear.
Right.
Or either they're waiting on the feeling to disappear, then say, I'll forgive. You know, it's like they just struggle with managing what's down in here in their heart. And I always try to tell people, you do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do.
Right.
You can confess something with your mouth and say it, but God's the one that has to get it out of your heart. And He does that oftentimes as we just continually release it to Him. Mm-hmm. You know, we take our hands off of it and say, okay, God, I've got this person right here. I'm hanging on to them with everything I got. I'm just going to take my hands off this situation and leave them to you, to your justice, to your grace, whatever, however you want to handle it. God, they are yours. This situation is yours. They're not going to live inside my heart anymore. So I release it and I forgive it. And forgiveness does not mean, okay, fine, it never happened. No, it did happen.
Right.
It was horribly destructive. I've still got to deal with what happened. It's terrible. I'm just not going to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And if you continually take your hands off of it, God will heal your heart. But that could take years.
Yeah.
That's good.
I still sometimes realize unforgiveness that I've had in my heart towards someone that's years old.
Right.
And I haven't thought about it forever, but I'll see a person. And the more sensitive you get to the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus in your life, the more this will come up in your life. You'll mm-hmm. see a person that you had a beef with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll look at them and feel that. And then the Holy Spirit in you will say, what's that? What's right. going on here? This ain't right. Let's deal with this. You know, that happened to me just a few weeks ago. I saw a person that was, the beef was years and years ago, and I had forgotten about it. And I saw the person or something associated with the person, and I saw it in a different light because of how I've grown in the past several years. And the Holy Spirit just whispered in my heart, it's time to let that go.
Wow.
And
that's
I did.
Hard. That's hard, said, but powerful.
Yeah, I was driving down the road, and I just, yeah, God, I release that to you. I'm not going to be mad about it anymore. I'm not going to tell anybody else about it anymore.
Yep.
I won't bring it up anymore. It's not going to be one of my stories. I'm going to let that go and let that be buried in the past.
It's good.
Yeah. Tough place to get to.
It is, yeah. It's easy to sit here and talk about and even have experiences where you've been able to forgive. You know, sometimes when you're still in the midst of that anger or that hurt, it can almost seem impossible to get to that place where you're going to forget when it's really fresh. And I don't know, you still, that wound hasn't healed.
It is impossible without Jesus. It really is, like a lot of things are. You can't do that. That's supernatural. You cannot forgive without Him.
Well, and I think you mentioned this weekend, this idea of I've been forgiven much.
That's true.
So if He can do that for me,
that's true.
I can do it in this instance.
Yep, absolutely true. The other side of this is when you give your life to Christ and you live as His disciple, as His follower, you're impacting 1,000 generations in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, here's the positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to get the bad out, but I also want the good to pervade my life. So my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren can benefit from my life.
Yeah.
You know, who knows, you know, if my great-grandchildren, they'll probably hear my name at some point. I don't know if I'll live long enough to see one of them or two of them, but they'll probably live long enough. And if they're interested in their ancestry, they may look up my name somewhere. And one day that's just the case. If we're even interested, I am interested in that, so I look up. If we're interested in that, we might look back and see names, but all they're going to be is the name on the chart, mm-hmm. you know, and consciously. They're going to be a name on the chart, and we're going to see birth and death, and we'll think, yeah, I was related to that person so long ago. And that's going to be true for all of us in a sense. But my life can have an impact on their lives that they'll never consciously be aware of. My life could have spared them abuse and addiction and all kinds of hell.
Yeah.
And my life can actually bring blessing upon them that they won't even tie to me, which is fine, but I can have an impact over my descendants. I pray for this. I pray and ask God, I want all my descendants to be saved. I pray for my right. descendants. I really do. I want all of them to come to know you.
That's powerful. And I loved the way you ended the service, talking about your dad and how he drew that line.
Oh,
he broke that chain off of his own life, which then broke it off yours, mm-hmm. which then broke it off Michael and Daniela's. Mm-hmm. And then so on and so forth, mm-hmm. And continuing to pray that, right? And I I think, at least for me as a dad, it was like, okay, this is serious, you know? And I think I knew that. But it's like, oh, you really can make a huge difference in one moment. Mm-hmm. So I was almost wanted to be like, everybody go home and sit down with your kids and do this right now.
Have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because it works.
My dad was a really wayward youth. My dad wasn't raised in church. Their family didn't attend church. There were 13 children, you know, and they just did not attend church for whatever reason. And my mom was a church kid. Her mom and dad were churchgoers for real. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell this story, if it's story time or not, but my grandfather on my mom's side also struggled with alcoholism when mm-hmm. he was a kid. There's a whole lot of stories I couldn't tell. And he married my grandmother, whose mom and dad were very faithful and religious to church. They loved Jesus. They really did. My great-grandparents that I never met. In fact, the guy's name is Andy, where Andy comes from, if you need that. I'm going way into family history that probably nobody cares about. But my mom's dad struggled with alcohol. He marries a little church girl, right? And she told him, I'm not marrying somebody who drinks. So he didn't. He quit. One night after they got married, he came home drunk. And she said, that's the last time you're going to do that to me.
Wow.
She said, you come back in this house again like that, I'm out. And he told me this story himself. He said, I never drank another drop because I loved your grandmother more than I loved alcohol.
That's so amazing.
My dad, this is just how it repeats itself. My mom, little church girl, she gets paired up on a blind date with my dad. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare for parents. I'm just telling you, if I've raised a sweet little church girl and she gets set up on a blind date with a kid who's out running around drunk all the time, I'm like dying. And my grandparents were just like, my grandmother specifically, she was like, don't marry him. I think she told my mom, I'm spilling all the family secrets out here on the internet, but I think she told my mom, you'll marry him over my dead body.
Okay.
Yeah. And mom did it anyway. Mom married my dad. He was still drinking. And so my mom's parents, Sam and Marie Proctor, precious people, they prayed till my dad got saved.
Wow.
They did. They made up their minds, hey, he's in the family now. Yep. We're going to pray him into the kingdom. And it happened. He came to Jesus miraculously. So, family tree. I've got some struggles that came down the family tree from all directions. But, boy, I've got some blessing, too, because I'm here today because I really had a great-grandmother who prayed us, her whole family, into the kingdom, basically. My lineage goes back to my great-grandmother, who was actually an abandoned baby, abandoned in a creek, and they found her. And she married my great-grandfather and became a powerful Christian. I never met her. She died the year before I was born.
And now you're doing that. And now you're doing that for future generations as you were praying them into the kingdom.
Yeah. I didn't realize, this is pretty cool, really. I was praying about, and the blessing was about abandonment.
Yeah.
And my family spiritual legacy that lives here today came from my great-grandmother, who was an abandoned baby, who was left in a ditch, basically.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy. Now,
that is.
Y'all just, this has been personal therapy for me today. Craver Proctor family history going on here, but it's true. It's all real.
Tune in next week for the Karst family legacy.
Let's explore the ancestry of the Karst family next week. Yeah. Well, guys, it's been good. It's been therapeutic for me. I don't know if anybody's still with us after all that, but here we are.
Good start. Get healthy. We'll go part two this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right. Well, make sure you're with us.
See y'all then.